If you got your Bibles, go ahead and get those out. We're going to dive right into the Word this morning. I'm excited to be teaching a series that we actually have been teaching on Wednesday nights. So if you've been with us on Wednesday nights, we've been teaching a series called Faith in a Crisis. And this morning, I'm going to share part four this Sunday morning instead of next Wednesday. I kind of felt like this was really relevant for what is going on right now in our life. So if you got your pens, your papers, your phones, listen, you have your phones, you have a note app on your phone, and you're taking notes this morning, there's something that just strikes your fancy. You ever heard that word? It just strikes your fancy, all right? Write it down. Amen. There's something that just stands out to you that really blesses you. Listen, I believe when we teach the Word of God or we preach the Word of God, I believe that these are messages that the Lord has put in our heart to really to study out and to put before the people of God, because I believe this is what God is saying to the body of Christ. Amen. And there's other ministers out there that have got great outlines, great series and notes, and sometimes we pull from that reservoir because there's some things in the body of Christ that God is really saying through some men and women of God that are in our pulpits. And I feel like this is one of those messages that I feel like for our house, this is really relevant to our house. Amen. And what God has said about our church and this community in Appalachia and Western North Carolina. Amen. So if you are taking notes and there's something that just really ministers to you today, listen, text it out in your notes tab, hit your record button, but also know that we do record these messages and we are on Facebook Live. As of right now, this is the season of the church that we're in as far as technology, and we're looking to advance that and growing that and have more of an online presence. Amen. And so we know it's important for you to hear, because Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. And so we need to exercise our faith muscles. Amen. And we need to hear. Amen. And that's how your faith grows, as you begin to exercise the measure of faith that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to you. Amen. We don't let it sit dormant. We don't do like the men with talents, where we're just going to take the talent, dig a hole, bury it in the ground, and never believe God for anything. We're going to sit back, listen, and just watch life happen. How many of you know you've lived enough life where if you just sit back and watch life happen to you, how many of you know life will happen to you? It will. Just in the natural, when you get up and you finally let people quit taking advantage of you. And in the natural, you just, in this world, in the natural, you say in the natural, in this life, not even being spiritual, talking spiritual things, just in the natural, you just open your mouth and say, you know, enough is enough. Come on, you got a kid talking back to you and you go, you know what? Enough is enough. Come on, moms and dads, you're like, enough is enough. This isn't going any further. I'm exercising my parental right. And according to the scripture, we're going to have a chit-chat, and you're going to close your lip, and you're going to listen, right? This is a part of training a child up in the word of the Lord, in the ways of the Lord. So when he is old, he'll not disrespect you and dishonor you. Amen. So what are you saying? I'm saying we need to put our foot down. We need to rise up in this last day when the word of God is taught. We need to take notes. We need to be ready with our Bibles and with whatever means is necessary. But again, we have these messages online. So if whatever you don't catch in your notes, you can go online and Facebook, Destiny Church WNC Facebook. You can go on destinychurchwnc.com. We put all of our past messages up. You can listen to the audio. And then sometimes we attach our Facebook video feed to our messages so you can watch it. But if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and you're exercising your faith, come on, you're not a hearer of the word, but you're a doer of the word. How many of you know there's a lot of people that know a lot of scripture? But he didn't say the knower of the word is the one who is blessed. He said the one, James says, the one who hears the word of the Lord, whether you're hearing it, seeing it, or reading it out of the Bible, or YouTube, or however you're getting it into your heart, the word of God, the seed of the word in your heart. James says the one who hears the word and then is a doer of the word is the one who is blessed. Amen. And I could tell you, most certainly in my life, I've done a lot of hearing, and I couldn't make the connection at one part of my life. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And he said, you need to begin to act upon what you're hearing. In other words, yeah, you have faith. Begin to believe me. Begin to, come on, confession is a part of faith, not just mechanical confession, but I'm talking about confession coming out of a, birthed out of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That Just what Jesus said about the Father in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Whatever I hear the Father say, that's what I'm going to say. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. Amen. He was submitted to authority, Jesus was. He was submitted to his Father. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so when you're in relationship with the Father through prayer and the Word, your faith is in God's being stirred up, just don't let it sit in your head. Begin to open your mouth and to begin to give life and speak life. Come on, death and life are in the what? Power of your tongue. Amen. So it's not time for the church to sit back and be silent. It's time for the church, which is the body of Christ, amen, to rise up. Amen. That's why when we came out of worship, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. There's moms and dads, and maybe if you're watching online, and we thank those that are part of our online family that are watching online this morning, we call you blessed, and thank you for joining in with those that are in the house. But this morning, out of worship, the Lord began to minister, and the Holy Spirit began to minister to moms and dads. And he was talking about, what did we say, church? 1 Peter 5:7, talking about casting all of your care upon the Lord, for he what? Cares for you. Amen. He watches over you. God is faithful to perform what he said he would do. Amen. And so the point of this morning is not just to throw a bunch of information in your ear and we all applaud and clap and we're appeased and we go home. No, we're training up an army. We're this church, this house has a commission. Amen. We have a vision and a purpose to train up as every other house does. Believers. Amen. Warriors. Now, I'm not talking about warriors that go out and just like, come on. In the natural, when you get angry, you stand up to the adversary that's being the bully to you. You put your finger in their face and you say, enough is enough. Not only are you using your words, you're using that attitude that's rising up on the inside of you. Come on. That swagger, your body, you're ready to go to war in the natural. Well, how about what God has said in Ephesians chapter 6 in the spirit? You take upon and put upon the whole armor of God. I got the shoes of peace. I've got the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Come on. I've got the sword of the spirit. Come on. I have the word of God. I have prayer. I have my lance. I'm ready to go. What are you talking about? Where Paul was in prison writing a letter and he was saying, likened the body of Christ and their spiritual armament to what? To a Roman soldier who was present. And the Holy Spirit began to show him. And so Ephesians chapter 6, we see a whole chapter of the Spirit of God speaking through the Apostle Paul saying, believers, rise up, put on your armor, don't take any of this nonsense that's in this world that's trying to bully you. And then you don't just say whatever you want to say when you want to say it. No, you do what Jesus did. Father, what do I say here? What do I do here? We're not given Christian responses by the flesh. Do you hear what I'm saying? Taking the word of God, operating only out of our intellect and just saying what we feel like in the moment. That's not being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit is, listen, it's listening on the inside to that inward witness, that still small voice. Come on. And Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit. And then that's when you begin to say, God, James chapter 1, I need your wisdom. God said, here's wisdom. I promised it. That's what James says. If any lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives freely and liberally without reproach, and it shall be given to him. That's James chapter 1. God said, when you ask, I'm going to give it to you. So I got digestive issues. This is how good God is. Some of you in here this morning, you got digestive issues, and you'll find by the end of the service, the wisdom of God is going to come to you and tell you what you need to do. But I know by the Holy Spirit, some of you in here, if you just begin to listen on the inside, the digestive issues will go away because the Holy Spirit has the wisdom to show you that what's in the food and the type of food you're eating that are affecting your digestive tract. Yeah. You say, well, what's this church thing all about? It's about communing with God, having fellowship with God. Come on, spending time with Creator so you can go out of the throne room of God, out of prayer, and have an impact in your generation. So the message that I preach, we're not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but they're words of demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of times we're looking for the really good orators. That's the guy I want to listen to. And the truth is, sometimes the best orators that we see are not anointed. It's information, and information is good, and information is needed, and you can Google information. But revelation is what is needed. And revelation comes when you spend time in the holies of holies. You spend time in prayer, in the word of God, and in fellowship, koinonia, with God. And then he speaks, and where you've spent thousands of dollars on doctors trying to figure out what your digestive issues are, the Spirit of the Lord, his wisdom that he offers to the child of God says, hey, I'll give you what you need if you'll listen to me. I've already promised you, but we're not listening. Or we're listening and we're hearing, and then some of us are taking a next step where we're hearing and we even got the wisdom of God, but we're not doing what he tells us to do, and therefore we're not getting results, and then we're blaming things on God. Well, I thought you said, and he did say, but are you doing the very thing that he told you to do and how he told you to do it? Amen. Praise God. I'm just excited about what God is doing. Listen, this isn't a dead letter, folks. This isn't a dead word we're teaching. It isn't a boring message. Listen, I've sat under boring after boring after boring my whole life in the church. Our objective in any minister never gets up and says, I want to be boring this morning. And you say, well, where are you going with this? Because the thing is people got life going on. And boring is not the problem. The problem is lethargy and sleeping Christians that need to get out of sleeping and slumbering. I'm talking about spiritually. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spending time with heaven. That way, when you get part or take part of heaven, listen, this is manna from heaven. The word of God is fresh manna. That's what God told the children of Israel. He said, I will feed you what? Fresh manna every single day. You're not going to have to feed yourselves. You're not have to wake up every single day. I will give you fresh. Don't gather what fell the day before. Don't pick it up. I'll feed you fresh every day. You see, in the word of God, in the old covenant, where God allowed wind to blow and birds, ravens came in, and then there was meat. God will make a way where there seems to be no way for a lot of sons and daughters. Come on, it's his covenant. When I put this ring on my hand 15 years ago, I told my wife, I said, I do. That's not just an informational, it's revelation of the covenant that I have with God, that when I put this ring on my finger, I'm not only have covenant with my father, I have covenant now with my bride, my wife. It's covenant. So there's nothing I know that my wife wouldn't do for me. If we can know an earthly person can meet a need, how much more creator of heaven and earth, come on, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would say unto you, what do you have need of? You need wisdom? I'll help you with digestive issues. You need healed in your body? I'll help you with that. You need wisdom on how to direct your kids? I will help you with that. Do you need to know how faith needs to navigate in a crisis? I'll show you that. So let me say it again. We don't need just information. We need revelation. Revelation comes by spending time with the Father. It comes by spending time in the Word of God, meditating. Listen, meditating on the Word. And then when you leave from the presence of God and the Word of God and your time, and you go out to McDonald's and you go out to work and you go out to wherever it is that you work, that the time that you spent in the presence of the Lord, when you leave that presence, you come out with this message of faith in a crisis. I know how to respond, even in COVID and politics and rioting and all this calamity and everything, which, by the way, Jesus said, this stuff is coming. And it's going to increase and increase and increase. He said, men's minds will be vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Come on. He said, men's hearts will wax cold. Men will depart from the faith. When I say men, I'm talking about men, women, and children. All of the above. How many know in the Bible when God says man, he's not literally at times talking about man. He's talking about man in totality. Women, children, man, humanity. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so revelation, I just have this in my spirit. Revelation is what is going to change you. Come on, coming out of revelation, you're spending time with a revelator. You're coming out and you're going out and impact your job. So you want change in your managers? You want change on your job? No, you got people that are harassing you, people that are causing you problems. You begin as a child of God to take the authority you have in the name of Jesus and the word of God. And you say, I know what to do. I just spent time with the Father. And how many know, when you're with somebody all the time, you know their character, you know their honor, you know their abilities, Come on, you observe things. Some things are taught. Some things are heard, right? When you're around an individual, right? You hear things. They speak. Some things are taught. But then some things are caught. Some things are never said. You just catch them by being around them. It's caught. Come on. There's things within the church and in the body. If you'll get amongst believers and fellowship and you get around God, some things are taught, but some things are caught. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's my goal this morning, is that we move from an informational, you know, this is good, pastor, preach it. Woo, and it is. But we move from that to revelation. Come on, when I show up to the house of the Lord, I'm believing God's going to speak to me, and he's going to speak to me such a profound word that when Pastor Rachel and Aaron or whoever in this house that we train up and raise up to speak from this pulpit, they don't speak just information, but they bring some revelation. Amen. Does this resonate with anybody online or in this house this morning? Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, a lot of times we're crying out for change. We're crying out for help. God said, I'm here. But we got to listen to him. He is revelation speaking to you. And if you'll grab that, like a $100 bill, and somebody says, here's $100, what do? You grab it, you put it in your pocket. That's what revelation is. It's that Benjamin, it's that $100 bill. You grab that revelation, you put it into your spiritual pocket, your heart, you meditate on that. Come on. When you get a $100 bill in your hand, what are you doing? Right, Sue? You're doing some meditation. You're going, I can eat with this $100. I can buy clothes with this $100. I can give some of this $100 to my grandchildren. There's things I could do with this $100 bill. Come on. Spiritually speaking, the word of God, when it's deposited in your heart and you do something with it, what happens? The seed of the word, come on, will produce results. When you begin to meditate on it, then open your mouth and you begin to make faith confessions. Come on. When lack shows up, your paycheck's short, things happen. Come on. You don't get caught up with the barrel of the world and its problems on top of you. You say, no, man, the strength of Samson. Come on, God put strength in Samson. I'm going to lift the new covenant. I'm going to lift this problem off of me with the word of God and the authority and the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to cast this barrel off of me. Come on, amen. Do you see what I'm saying? If God would put supernatural ability in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, come on. We just need to believe that when he speaks, we hear it, and we're like, you know what? I'm going to receive this word. Amen. So this morning, you know, again, let me say it like this. There's pressures, tension, stress, anxiety. Listen, all this stuff continues to rise. Right now, all of us in this room are around people every single day that are stressed out. There's tensions, and there's thoughts and feelings that only hit them, but they hit you. And it's thoughts like this. Listen, I can't take it anymore. Come on, I heard that just this week. I can't take it anymore. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm over this. When will this end? Come on, I said it out of my own mouth. I said, I'm tired of this COVID and this all of this nonsense and people's hatred. When is this going to be over? And here's the thing. When this is going on, because what are we talking about? Sustaining grace. Faith in a crisis. What do I do? Listen, relationships are challenged. Is anybody in this room, would you be honest, during this season, you've seen through conflict that people don't handle conflict well sometimes, and the relationships are strained. I could raise my hand on that one. I see it, even in my own life. Listen, you thought you had a great marriage, and now you're not so sure. Some of us have been isolated for 3 months. Come on. You could really meddle right there. I could pick on mine. Kids are frustrated with parents. Parents with kids. I can't take them anymore. Get them out of my house. Come on, park open. I need the park to open. This is ridiculous. How about things that didn't used to bother you now rubs you raw? Things that aggravate you and agitate you, rubbing you raw. I can relate to that. I'll nod on that one. Elbow, handshake, like that. Amen. And none of us are exempt from care and worry and anxiety and things that are going on. Come on, you're not exempt from when your child is under your care and they have a bad attitude and it's because they've been sitting in the house for 3 or 4 months and you're trying to figure out what to do as a parent. And then you're looking on social media and you got other parents out like acting like they got it all together. And they got their selfies out there and they're like, today we're over here and today we're over here and life is just good. No, life just sucks sometimes. Come on. Life is just difficult sometimes. We live in a fallen world. The Bible says that. But we can overcome with joy, with love. We can overcome. Come on. We can adjust our attitude and walk and step into what? This grace. The grace of God. And that's what we're hitting on this morning. So as you talk about faith in a crisis, I want to talk about the power of sustaining grace. And the word sustain means this, to give support or relief to. Sustain means to supply with sustenance. It means to nourish, to keep up or prolong, to support the weight of, to prop, to carry or withstand. Listen, a weight or pressure. Sustain means to bear up under. What are we talking about? The sustaining grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, if there's ever a time we need God's grace and power working, it is right now. Right now. We need this. And so his sustaining power and strength, not your sustaining power and strength. Amen. Your will in is only going to take you so far. But what's going to happen is you're going to get stressed with your kids, stressed your relationship, stressed in your marriage, stressed with people at work if you don't begin to learn how to tap in to this grace of God. Amen. And you'll begin to burn out. And in relationships that you are in great fellowship with, you begin to get agitated with the very people who are the closest to you that helped you and prayed for you and nourished you and fed you and got you off the baby's milk of the word and got you on the strong meat. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. And so here's the myth that Christians don't have bad days. Christians, what? You don't have problems, right? Wrong. And if you do, it's somehow, listen, we got this thing where it's like, it's just the lack of faith on your part. You're just out of God's will. Come on, it's a lack of faith. I've heard all of these. And so we're going to look at 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. We're going to talk a few minutes about the Apostle Paul. And then we're going to pray. We're going to dismiss. And then we're going to go out and encourage our nation. We're going to go out and encourage our communities. We're going to go out to work tomorrow. We're going to go out with a changed attitude. Why? Sustaining grace. I'm not living this life on my own. I got the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28, how do we know that Paul was not low on faith and he was not outside of the will of God when he made this statement? Paul the apostle, who wrote a lot of the epistles that we read in the New Testament, who was imprisoned and chained and beaten. We're going to read a little bit about this in the life of Paul. But Paul said this. He said, all they are the servants of Christ. I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I have worked harder, been put into prison, more often been whipped without number, faced death again and again. The Apostle Paul, verse 24, 5 times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I was spent a whole night and a day adrift in the sea. Has anybody lived or been on any body of water, whether it be a river, lake, or anywhere? How many of you know after a few hours you're ready to get out and come home? Okay, I could tell you story after story growing up near the ocean where I was stuck. My father, my dad, Danny, was actually stuck on a boat out in the middle of the ocean one time out off the coast of Florida with my grandfather and a few others. And I could tell you, when you got swells 12 to 14 foot high, when we read this, I think sometimes we read the scripture and it's like, this is good. It's like a storybook, but it's not a story. This is real life. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. Come on, think about the swells right now. 16, 18, 20 foot swells. Come on, going up. You're just sitting there floating in the water all day, puking all over the water because you're just nauseated. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so Paul said in verse 26, he said, I've traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers, from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in cities, in deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. And interesting right there. Grab that statement. Men who claim to be believers that are not. So is it possible, Paul's saying, that people, come on, pretenders, waiters, grab a hold of the last message we taught on Wednesday night. Go back and listen to it. It was really awesome. But is it possible that people that even call themselves Christians can be hurtful? Can they say things? Can we as people, come on, not walk in the love of God, get in the flesh, be carnal, and say things that we don't need to say? Absolutely. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. So how did the Apostle Paul get through all of this? Because most of us right now reading this paragraph or this context, this passage of scripture, we would have quit already. I can tell you right now, floating more than a day out in the sea, I'm done. Shark, eat me. Jesus, I'm born again. Take me to heaven. I'm done with this. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on, I'm beaten with a rod 39 times. Whipped, beaten, bruised, jailed, bloodied. But see, if you're taking notes today, grace is God's empowering us to accomplish what we couldn't do on our own. See, a lot of times we're doing things in this. That's why it's important when you get flowing in what God's called you to do, that we really stay in a position of humility in the heart, because it's really God's grace and ability putting you in that position to be such a conqueror in your life. Yes, you have to do your part. It's the natural and the supernatural working together that makes an explosive force for God. That's one of my pastors, Kenneth Hagin, says that. Pastor says that all the time. Yes, there's the spiritual application, but there's the natural application of being a hearer and a doer of what God has said in his word. So the key is this. This grace empowers us. Too often people want to do it all. We want to do it all. People stop with their effort and energy. There's times where you want to do it all, and there's times where you stop. Like, I have no energy, no effort. I'm done. And you need to understand, listen, it's God's grace, his empowerment, working through me, working through you, working through us. God cannot steer a parked car. Isn't that good? God can't. You're a vehicle, man. You can't. If you get into the car and there's no gasoline, no key, you're parked, you're not going anywhere. Well, what happens when you get in the car with gas and a key? Some of you got cool remotes where you push the remote on the button and your car starts for you. Come on, in North Carolina, it gets down below zero at times in the 20s and 30s. How cool is it that your car, you can hit a button, the vehicle comes on, right? Right, Barb? The vehicle comes on. Amen. It's even got an ice defroster on the windshield. Your heat kicks on. You ain't got to go out there and scrape anything. What are you talking about? God can't steer a parked car. Amen. See, your circumstances will change by God working in and through you. Listen. In and through you, God doing the work, which means there's a listening. There's a patient listening. God, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do? See, your circumstances, again, will change. The channel or pipeline for God's strength and grace to flow through you is this grace working in your life. Amen. And listen, God empowers you to live this life. Some of us are this morning, we're going through some stuff. Listen, what is God's grace? What is it real quick? It's unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. It's God's love for us in action. Come on, grace is God's love for you in action. It's strength from within. What are you talking about, Pastor? Listen, here was Paul's learning curve in 2 Corinthians 12, if we'll put that up. You're reading. Follow me with this, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Even though, Paul said, I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. So was this thorn in the flesh sickness and disease? It was absolutely not sickness and disease. It was a messenger of Satan, an evil spirit who incited harassment, abuse, torment, and discouragement. You can see it in 2 Corinthians 11. Amen. And so it was an attack. Paul's thorn in the flesh was an attack. See, we see this three different times in verse 8. It says this, I beg the Lord to take it all away. But see, here's the thing. God didn't tell you just to take care of it all on your own. What was the Lord's response? His response was, God, you do something about this. Paul's like, in context, what are you going to do? Verse 9, we read this. Each time Paul said, he said, my grace is all you need. My power, listen, my strength works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that, listen, the power of Christ, underline that statement, the power of Christ can what? Work through me. The Amplified said this in verse 9. It says, but he said to me, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy. Grab that. My favor, loving kindness, and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effective. Listen, let me say it again. In your weakness. What are we talking about? See, this is what we need to catch. The thorn was Satan's power directed at the Apostle Paul. That's what the thorn in the flesh was. There's a lot of teaching out there about a lot of different things. Well, sickness. Nope, you need to read the context and study the Word of God. The thorn in the flesh was Satan's power directed at Paul. Grace was God's power released through Paul. Do you see what I'm saying? God wants to work with us, folks. We have a part. But we need to let God do his part. Amen. We need to let this grace work in our life. Amen. So what do we read? Greater is he that is in me than what? The Bible says, than he that is in the... Well, who's in the world? Satan. He's the 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the little g, the little god of this world. And he's here to bring destruction and calamity and problems. Who is doing the rioting? Satan. Who's behind all the calamity? Satan. Who's behind all the problems? Satan. The Bible's pretty clear. He uses men. He speaks to the heart of men. Men listen to him, right? So again, what is God saying? Verse 9, my power was working in you on your behalf. The power that's working in you and in your life and through you is greater than the power of the enemy. Some of us right now, we're looking at politics and things that are going on. I would be filtering all your meditation on these things because the enemy's message to you is get so caught up into thinking about politics and the thinking about all this stuff that your mind as a believer is so fueled with everything but the Word of God, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I could talk to somebody for 5 minutes and to find out what you're full of. Even though Jesus was saying, you brood of vipers, in Matthew 12:34, he was rebuking them. You brood of vipers, you hypocrites, for out of the evil, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Well, here's the thing. Let's take that and flip it around, and out of the abundance, what we meditate on is going to come out of our mouth. Some of us as the enemy, we've stepped out of the sustaining grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not understanding why is this problem here? Why is this showing back up? Why is this happening? Why? We need to listen on the inside, and God would tell you, and I would prophesy this to you, you're filling your mind with the wrong thing. And it is the enemy's distractions for your life to get your meditation on everything but the Word of God. Are you praying in the Spirit? Are you reading the Word of God? Let's look practically how you've distracted into the cares of this world, stepping away from the sustaining grace of God, and you're trying to live life on your own, making things happen. God, what do I do here? It's pretty simple. Verse 10 says this, Paul's entire perspective changed. He said, that's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults. Some of you this week, you've been insulted, but that's okay. You've had hardships, but that's okay. Paul said, persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Did you hear that statement? For there, where I'm weak, he is strong. Where I am weak, he is strong. Amen. Faith is not denial, folks. Amen. The message says this, moving on. It says, my strength comes into its own in your weakness. Once I heard that, I was glad to let it happen. I quit focusing on the handicap and began appreciating the gift. It was a case of Christ's strength moving on my weakness. Isn't that good? Come on, man. He said, now I take the limitations in stride and with good cheer. These limitations that cut me down to size. Come on, abuse, accidents, opposition, bad breaks. I just let Christ take over. I just let Christ take over. Let me say it again. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. See, here is what Paul learned. His grace is doing life through God's ability and not our own. It's through God's ability. Grace is doing life through God's ability. Underline that. And not our own. Listen, I have a strong will as a pastor. Man, I can handle it. Listen, some of you, especially the older generation in this house, you've seen a lot. Some of you have been through wars. Come on, World War II. You've seen the Korean War, the Vietnam Wars. You've seen the 60s. You watched the 60s. You saw what was happening. The rioting. Come on, it wasn't just in Forrest Gump, the movie, that we saw what was going on in the 60s. It was way worse than that. There were riots. There were things broken, things coming down. People, there was politics moving everywhere in the 60s. See, this is a lot of the, what are you talking about? Because here's the thing. I've seen it before. I'm going to will myself through this thing. Right? I'm going to will myself through this. I'm going to will myself through this again. I did it before. I'm going to do it again. No. With God's help, I managed this with his sustaining grace before. And I'm going to manage it with his sustaining grace again. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. See, grace is, let me say it again, doing life in God's ability and not our own. See, here, if we look at our nation's current health and economic crisis, things look pretty grim through the lens of life, right? So this is where we get into, Pastor, I can't take this. I can't take it. Come on. And it's a fair and true statement. I can't. I'm done. But by the sustaining, what do you mean? Support, relief, supply. Listen, grab this word. Say it with me. Say nourishment. Nourishment and strength of God on the inside of me. Listen, you and God, all of us, we can beat this life. We can rule and reign and win in this life together with Christ. Amen. See, what I can't do on my own, I can do through Christ. Even the young people in here, I remember being young and watching things go on like this in the nation, and you're not thinking about how this affects me because you're stuck in your life and what you're doing because you don't realize what your parents and your guardians and your gatekeepers are, and those who have authority over you are what they're going through. Amen. So even the children that are under the sound of my voice, you begin to pray for your parents. You begin to pray for those that are in authority over you, helping you. Begin to lift up your parents. Begin to lift up your family, your aunts and your uncles who are going through things. Let me say it again. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him. Listen, God infuses what? Inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in what? Christ's sufficiency. What are we saying? God, I need your grace and love to serve this boss. God, I need your grace to parent these kids. God, I need your grace to love my husband and my wife. God, I am cooked and fried. My get up and go got up and went. You hear what I'm saying? So here's the thing. If I release, say this word with me, release. If I release the spirit of grace, strength, and power in my life. Come on, I allow God to come in and do what only he can do. I tap into that sustaining grace, that empowerment. Come on, I'm not going to take care today. I'm training myself with the help of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said will help you, comfort you, lead you, guide you, help you. He's right there with you to lift the table. You need lifting, he'll lift with you. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord gives his people strength. Is anybody God's people in here this morning or online? Come on, that's a weak woo. Is there any of God's people in the house this morning? Amen. So the Lord gives you strength. That's what the Bible says. The Lord blesses them with peace. So he not only gives you strength, he gives you his peace. Amen. Remember this scripture? Peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Come on, supernatural shoes of peace, Ephesians 6, that we are wearing, man. Let's tap into that peace. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to what? Help in the times of what? Trouble. What do we see right now? Trouble. I got trouble in my business, trouble with my boss. What were we just saying? Isaiah 40:29, he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Man, I'm just going to take that scripture right there and put it on the back of my bedroom wall when you come in my door. Scriptures all the way up and down that thing. It's a vision board. It's a scriptural board. There are things I get up out of the bed that my wife created, and I'll just read it. I'll go into the mirror to brush my teeth. She stuck a scripture right there. Amen. She's a helpmate. She said, man, I see him struggling a little bit. I'm going to put the scripture, because that's the thing that sets you free. Right? The word of God sets you free. You get meditating on the word. Come on, you begin to realize, man, this is who I am in Christ. I don't feel like it. Well, faith is not feelings. Faith is like, regardless if I feel like it or not, I'm going to get up and go to work anyways. And God, I thank you for your sustaining, empowering, strengthening grace on my life to do the task at hand for the day. Amen. Romans 8:35-39. Can anyone ever separate us from the love of Christ? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Come on, some of us think when we're going through things, it's like God's fell off the earth. He's gone. He disappeared. He's no longer here. It says calamity. Are we persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Verse 36. As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Come on, I could just sense it in this place today, just the weight coming off your soul. Come on, your mind, your will, and your emotions. You're a three-part being. I am a spirit, I have this soul, and I live in this body. The real me is spirit, but my soul is vexed. My soul is heavy. Come on, I see the, just right now, I just know it in my heart. Some of you are going, okay, I'm seeing this thing. What are we talking about? Sustaining grace, faith in a crisis. Amen. Verse 38, I am convinced. Underline that statement. I am convinced. Paul said, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from what? God's love. Nothing can ever separate me. Listen, there's nothing that you can do to separate you from the love of God. Nothing, man. So many people pick on that. I used to pick on myself. Man, I grew up in a good home, man. I still picked on myself. Allowed the enemy's thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to come into my life, began to meditate on these things, and stepped out of the sustaining grace and be like, well, I'm going through a hardship, and stepped on over into, well, God just fell off the throne. No, he was there, never left me. The Bible says he'll never leave you or forsake you. So he said, neither death or life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. Amen. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Let me say it again. In the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. It is revealed in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So grace is available to all who ask. Well, how do I obtain? It's available to all who ask. Ask. Give permission for God to work in you and through you. Be honest. You need to tell the Lord, listen, some of you've been willing yourself through life, and it's good, and you made some things happen. You can have a free and strong will, but you need to say, Lord, my will with this empowering grace working in my life is dynamite in this earth. It's going to take rock and blast that heavy rock out of the way. That problem that seemed large for you, it is going to move it. Ask the Lord for his help. Hebrews 4:15-16 in closing says this. It says, the high priest of our understanding, come on, the high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet Jesus did it without sin. Verse 16, so let us come what? To the throne of grace, to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. Some of you today may not even realize you need it right now. You need it right now in this building. You need that grace. And you need to ask God, God infused me. Say this word, infuse. Come on, with conviction, infuse. God, infuse me. Infuse me. Infuse our day with what? Creativity, strength, and direction. Some of you are property managers in here. Let me talk to you for a minute. You need quality employees. Come on. Are you just going to take what's out there and just hope somebody good comes along? Hope is good. Hope is an extended arm. Come on. But faith in God says, I lay hold of. I'm not just going to hold my hand out and hope. Faith says, I'm grabbing hold. I'm taking hold. I'm grabbing hold. How do I do that? When I pray, I'm tapping into God's sustaining grace. Father, I thank you for the best maintenance guys. I thank you for the best employees. I thank you for good managers. Father, I thank you for moving people out and moving people in. I thank you that even those that are not even born again that would come, that are great employees, I thank you, I'll be a witness. I'll be a strength to that person. I'll introduce him and this man, woman, whoever you're hiring, into this sustaining grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of you, you've been going without in the workforce. You need quality people in your business. You need to begin to rely on the wisdom of God and tap into the sustaining grace. You don't need just people you know. You need people that God said, hey, I want them to work for you because they need something in you, not just in your job. There's something in you that you can teach them, that you can help them with, that they need to grow spiritually. And there's something on the inside of you that can teach them and help them and direct them. Because people are so busy sometimes in the employment world that we don't tap in to just the practicality of training, biblical, spiritual training, without quoting chapter and verse all the time. I talk scripture all day long without chapters and verses. You can too. Amen. Come on, I could take a toilet cleaning session and I could talk about how this scripturally, do you see what I'm saying? Come on, amen. You know, I'm down here cleaning this toilet. Many times, if you have sons, if y'all have raised boys, you know where I'm talking about. Come on, I'm around my toilet all the time, and I'm not going to give details about that. Let's say it's progression. There's work happening there. So grace is available all to ask. Listen, and then there's growing in grace. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to come boldly to the throne of grace. We need to receive his mercy and find grace to help. Listen, when we need it the most. And when you ask God to infuse your day with creative strength and direction, he will do it. And so we never earn more grace. We need to understand this is something that is freely given. But there are things we can do to increase the flow of grace, listen, in our life. Number one, grow in faith. We've peppered this message today with this statement, grow in faith. How do you grow? Come on, spend time with God. Spend fellowship in the Word. Let faith come by feeding on the Word of God. Faith come by hearing. And not just hearing. Come on. Hearing that spoken Word. God, when you get into the Logos, God will begin to this is the Logos, the written Word of God. God, will you get into Logos, God will begin to speak Rhema. Revelation, come on, a spoken Word. Revelation begins to be spoken to you. Amen. Grow in faith. You begin to hear God speak to you. Then you begin to do what he tells you to do. And then you're exercising your faith muscle, and you say, man, I saw God come through for me here, and now he's coming through for me here. Amen. It's cool when you pray for something, and you see God do it. And you're like, wow, this Bible really works. Come on, amen. So grace functions by faith in our life. The greater our faith, the greater flow of grace. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done. What? For us. Because our faith, underline that statement. I love that. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of grace, undeserved privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. The NIV says it like this, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. But see, I always love the Apostle Paul. Ephesians 2:8 says this. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a free gift of God. Come on, here's a gift. It was free. You believed. You received. Amen. Most translations say it like this: for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. The Amplified says this. It says, for it is by grace, God's remarkable compassion and favor, drawing you to Christ, that you have been saved, actually delivered from judgment, and given eternal life through what? Faith. Come on. There's a lot of you in this room today that will never have to experience gnashing of teeth. You'll never have to experience weeping. You'll never have to experience an eternity with weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is this? A description of hell. Come on, pain, torment. It's not going to be Margaritaville. We're not sitting at a pool in a pool with a bar right there with our feet in the water drinking daiquiris. Socializing in hell. It's going to be misery. Read the word. We've been delivered out of that into life, and we have eternity with who? Jesus Christ. Come on, we're going to have the peace of God. Come on, the peace. No calamity in heaven. No problems in heaven. Come on, a glorified body, having access to come and go. There's so much to the kingdom we need to continually study and keep, you know, our focus and understanding on. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. Salvation is not a reward, verse 9, for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. The best way to put it is this. God and his grace. Grace is God's hand extended to us. Faith is our trusting hand put into his. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith is our part. Come on. Faith is our response. Grace is God granting the provision, while faith enables man to access the provision. So many times, the kingdom of God has made, come on, the system of the kingdom, the truth of the kingdom is made so easy for us that we walk in kingdom. Come on, in the kingdom. And faith is the currency of the kingdom. And God's saying, hey, just believe me, trust me. Just begin to say with your mouth. Come on, you hear on the inside. Tap into his grace. God's going, hey, if you'll, on the inside, you hear that tickle. Hey, if you'll just tap into my grace. If you'll just tap into my grace. Come on, hey. Ask me. Come on, it's here. It's free. You don't have to be stressed out. You don't have to take care. Come on, I see it there. God's like, I see the care. Come on, he's going, hey, on the inside, he's going, hey, the Holy Spirit, hey. See, the same grace through faith that saved us is the same grace available to us on a daily basis to strengthen and empower us. And he knows this, and he's trying to get us to understand this. God's trying to get us to understand this, to go, hey, that guy that's driving you crazy on your job, come here, let me talk to you. Step into my saving grace. Come here, I'll give you wisdom. Step into this power. Step into this grace. And you begin to, what? I look at people's life sometimes and I see believers that are pressed into God. I know their character. I know they love God. But man, I see them. I watch things that were hard become easy. And I sit back and watch. And I go have conversations. And I've had over the years a lot of conversations with a lot of people in the business world, in the leadership world, the coaching world, and every spectrum you can think of. I've had conversations with many people, come on, that were very wealthy and not very wealthy. And I've seen people with money and without money. It doesn't matter if your social status or how much money you got. I've watched people overcome things for years, and I go to them and have that conversation. And this is the question I ask, man, how did you do that? How in the world did you overcome that? This is where they all come back to, tapping into this. And so let me say it again. How do we get through this COVID-19? How do we get through it? Are we going to stay at home? Are we just going to stay in our house for the next 2 to 3 years when this thing keeps going on and 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 on? Come on. The grace of God equips, empowers, sustains, provides for us to do what we didn't think we can do. Remember this? Grace empowers you to homeschool your kids. Come on. I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to homeschool. Well, this month, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, tap into that sustaining grace. He'll empower you to homeschool your kids. He'll empower you to handle the bad news and quarantine. All this news on television. So grace, what? God says, I will provide. Faith says, listen, I'll receive it. You need to receive it. Many of us today are seeing the provision of God. I know it's there. I see the grace. I see a sustaining grace. But man, you got to take and your mouth, open it and say, Father, I receive it. I don't care about time. Right? Do you see what I'm saying? Right now, me and Jesus is what the focus is. Me and my Father is what the focus is. Me and the Word of God. Me and this time in the presence of the Lord, driving down to work in my car. Come on, going for a walk. Some of you need to get back to doing that. Enjoying the simplicity of just get outside. You don't have to spend a bunch of money. You can just go for a walk right out of your driveway. Go pick flowers. Come on. Peace of God. See, what do you mean? Grow in the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 1:2. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Knowledge is full knowledge, more than accumulating facts or information. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. If all we do is sit inside and mumble and complain and murmur, our mind is fixed on the news. I don't understand why I'm sick. What is your mind fixed on? It ain't sustaining grace. It ain't tapping into the grace of God. You say, yeah, I know where I'm stepping and I'm cool with it. Because here's the thing today with my second closing right here. Amen. I really believe in all my heart. We're going to see, as Rachel read that prophecy by Pastor Mark and Trina Hankins at camp meeting. We read that. She read that. In my heart, I'm sitting there listening to that, and I'm going, you know what's powerful about that? The word was good, and I believe it, but it was good that God still speaks to man. I sat back and I'm like, God still, listen, God created who in the beginning? Come on, talk to me. God created who? Adam. Formed Eve out of a rib just to have fellowship with man. Do you hear what I'm saying? Here we are today, hundreds and thousands of years later, God still wanting to fellowship with you, still wanting to spend time with you, still wanting to talk to you. Now we got more people. The earth is more populated. And so he wants to use you, come on, and your voice with this sustaining grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, operating and empowering you to go out and speak words just like Pastor Mark, just like God spoke through Pastor Mark. God wants to speak through you because it's not just about me and my life. It's about we. There are other people that are lost, dying, and hurting. And we don't need to take this mentality. What do we need to do of this attitude of, well, everybody can just go to hell? Because it's going to hell in a handbasket anyway, right? You're like, dude, I can't believe you just said that. Oh, I could say more. But I don't want to waste a lot of time because we're wrapping this thing up. So here's the deal. Your confession don't need to be, yeah, there's some things we're observing. There may be some true facts in that statement. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. But that's not true because the Bible says, come on, we know the end from the beginning. We know the end from the beginning. God put this logos, this inspired word, come on. He gave us this rhema to speak, the spoken word. That when you get the logos in you, God said, man, I want to release some rhemas in your generation. That you could be in a laundromat and somebody comes in. You're tossing quarters to dry out your last load of laundry. And on the inside you hear, hey, encourage that person. They need it. They're down. God's still talking to man. He's still fellowshipping with you. See, there's work for Adam and Eve to do, but they disobeyed God. He put them out of the garden. Listen, we're in a new and better covenant. Listen. To know Jesus is to know the living grace of God. Grow in our knowledge of God. It means knowing God in a personal and intimate level. I don't care how much information is being pumped out. Man, I've lived enough life that I can look at somebody and tell they love God. You know what's cool about that? Is when they mess up and say something stupid because they have to deal with their body and their flesh too. And I'm not talking about a continual state of stupid, right? You know what a continual state of stupid is? When you're constantly offending all the time and you're calling yourself a Christian and your mouth is always open far and wide to offend everywhere you go. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when somebody misses it, it's like, dude, I'm not commenting here because God loves them and they're just being carnal and God will help them fix that. Just like he helped. Come on. Well, we're not supposed to judge. I'm not talking about judgment. I'm talking about the simplicity of, listen, I know what God did in my life through this sustaining grace. I'm growing more in the knowledge of God. And I find that people that are growing more in the knowledge of God are less to talk and more to listen. That's not just, listen, closing again, third time. This isn't just growing old. Well, I'm just older. Because I know a lot of older people that can't keep their mouth shut. But I also know a lot of younger people that can't keep their mouth shut. You said you're treading on water. Listen, there's times in my life where the Lord rebuked and speak. He's like, listen, you're not letting this grace work in your life because you're hurt and you're speaking out of your hurt and your pain. If you would just grow in your knowledge of how good I am, you'll quit talking through your pain. I'll heal your pain. I'll heal your hurt. I'll help you when people are rejecting you because rejection was my issue. So I grew in the knowledge of God and the word of God of how much he loves me. And I began to know the scriptures about identification and who I am in Jesus Christ. And I quit identifying with the rejection and the pain and the anxiety and the depression. See, it's all working together. All of them do. They're cousins of one another. They're all related. Anxiety, and so I begin to grow in my knowledge of God. Paul said this, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with infinite value of knowledge or knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it as garbage so that I could gain Christ and becoming one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Verse 10, Philippians 3, 8 through 10, he says, I want to know Christ, Paul said. I want to know him and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him. I want to share in his death so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. To know Jesus is to know the living grace of God. Amen. And then number three, we need to grow in humility. Are we willing to be vulnerable? Are you willing to be vulnerable? To lay down our super capes and shields and ask for help? Listen, it's okay to do that. James 4, 6 through 8, and he gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to what? The humble. Why would God oppose the proud? Because they are unwilling to have his influence upon their life. There are some people, I don't want God's influence in my life. I'm settled right where I'm at. Listen, verse 7 says this, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Listen, humility is being vulnerable to say, I can't do it on my own. Humility is saying, I need your help, God. Humility is saying, I'm not everything I thought I was. God, I need your help. Dwight L. Moody said this, God sends no one away empty except those who are full of themselves. Man, I've been full of myself many times. We need to acknowledge our need for God in our life daily. Amen. Stand with me as we're closing. In your clothing. Amen. Amen. Father, I just thank you right now for those watching online. We bless our online family. Father, we thank you that the Word of God, we believe, changed the heart, the seed of the Word sown into their life. We bring such a dynamic change. I pray this Word today for those of you watching online would help you navigate in this season of life. We call you blessed. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Hallelujah. Amen. For those of you that are in the house, if you get up on the keyboard, I want to close you out in prayer. If there's anybody, and I want to ask this, if anybody before we release today, you say, man, I just need agreement. I need prayer. I need God to touch me. Listen, and there's just something stirring in your heart, or maybe there's just something stirring in your heart that's good, and you're just like, I need help getting that thing out of me, man. But if you need prayer for anything whatsoever, I want to meet with you in just a moment. Stay where you are. But I want to meet with you right over here. I'm going to be standing, and I'm going to be praying with you. This is after we dismiss. But right now, I want to pray this over you. I want to make a bold declaration over you. I believe with all of my heart, some of you right here in this room grabbed a hold of this message. I believe you did. Get tapped into this grace. Get tapped into His empowering grace. Don't live this life another day without tapping into that grace. Listen, guys. Ask Him. So before we leave, I want to do that right now. And you say, well, dude, Pastor, I ain't got nothing. I mean, I'm good right now. Well, praise the Lord. If you would just honor the others by sitting here. But if there's something on your heart, I want you to talk to God about that for the next few minutes. I want you to talk to God. I want you to lift it up. I want you to talk to God. Listen, this is, you say, well, altar care is done a little differently. Listen, the way we do altar care is to teach you how to pray, how to receive, and how to get things on your own. When you have a pastor, we'll pray for you and believe God for you, but my goal is to teach you how to get it yourself. If we're always reliant on a man to get your need met, you're not looking to God. Yes, God can work through man. But there comes a time in your growth with God, your spiritual walk with God, where your reliance is not upon a man, it's upon God. And your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm getting my healing. Come on. Where you needed hands laid upon you, now it's just like, Father, I'm going to get in your presence. And I got pain in my body, and I'm just going to worship you and know that through this worship, that by your stripes, as I worship, come on, I'm released in faith. My body's going to be whole today in the name of Jesus. Do you see the difference? Yeah, I get we need each other, and there's different doctrines in the Bible, and there is one of laying on of hands, but you don't always have to have hands laid upon you. You can grow to faith in the Word of God and who God is in your life, that you can just open your mouth and to begin to get what you need from heaven right out of your own mouth and right out of your own heart. Amen. And now you know that you're growing and maturing in the things of the Lord when you're not relying upon a man. Now, God will use men and women. So there's a balance there. But nowhere in the Bible does God say, my reliance is upon a man. Jesus said this, whatever I hear my Father say, that's what I say. He had fellowship with God the Father. Whatever I see Him do, that's what I do. When Jesus spat in the mud, come on, and put it on the blind man's eyes, told him to go wash off in the pool of Siloam. Who's the one you think led him to do that? The Father. Amen. Jesus was not a rebel. He did not do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it. He was in communion with the Father. That's where we need to be living our life. If that's new to you, it was new to me. I heard that years ago. Wait a minute. I have a responsibility to grow? Yes, you do. For yourself and for others. Amen. I like trucks and cars and houses, but I'm not taking that to heaven with me. And I want the best of the best, and I want my business to prosper, and I want to be the best. I didn't show up at my job to be the laziest. I showed up to be the best for that day. I'm going to give it everything I can that day. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? But I'm doing it with that sustaining grace. I'm doing it with the help of the Lord, and He's going to empower me. Do you see how this works? See, I learned something for myself just this morning. So when we pray, just begin to talk to the Lord just for a minute. There's anything on your heart. This is altar time. You say, I want to get this before the Lord. Just begin to close your eyes. Everybody, just, if you want to, close your eyes, look around. I don't care what people do. Just begin to commune with God. Just begin to tell Him, Father, I thank you right now for talking and ministering to us. Come on, put your needs before the Father. Father, I thank you for helping us. I thank you for leading us and guiding us. I thank you for your divine wisdom and impartation right now being imparted to your people. Where we lack wisdom, I pray wisdom is readily available to you right now, the wisdom of God. And Father, I just thank you right now for those that have many needs in this house. I thank you for meeting them. I thank you that their faith rises up to touch heaven. And they'll receive everything that you ask, that they ask of you. So Father, I thank you you're in this place. I thank you you're ministering to people. In Jesus' name, that's it. Some of you are connecting. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We release care. Come on. We release worry. Come on. Some of you are hurt because of your past, what people have done to you. You need to let them go and let God begin to heal your heart. And then though it will be a process, today is the day that you start and say, you know what? I let them go right now. I release and name them by name. And I'm talking to the older generation here that's in this room. Some of you have lived a long life. You've had a lot of wounds. And the enemy is trying to take, come on, he's speaking to your mind. And he's trying to rip the Band-Aids off. He's trying to cut open the scar. You don't let him do that. When thoughts come to your head, you tell the enemy, it's for some of you in here too, but I'm going to get a little bit more specific. Don't allow the devil to pull off wounds by bringing thoughts back from the past. Because there's things that's been healed in you, God says, and Satan, who's a thief, John 10:10, he's a destroyer. And he would come into your life to take your peace by getting your meditation on things and hurts and wrongs that people have done to you. And God said, where you've released that and let that go, when those thoughts come to your head, you do what 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says. You grab those thoughts and bring them into captivity. And you open your mouth and say, not today, devil. You're not coming into my soul. You're not coming into my mind. I resist you in the name of Jesus. You're not coming in today. You're not. You can knock on the door, but you're not coming in. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill her right now. Right now, the Holy Spirit, right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close this thing. I just felt that lift off. Sometimes when we're ministering and praying, I sense God leading us in a direction. And the goal of the church should always be to cooperate with God, with heaven. Amen. Amen. If he spoke to Adam, how many of you know he could speak to us? Amen. We need to hear what he's saying. Amen. In closing, if y'all look at me, say this. Say, the Bible is God speaking to me. Amen. So when you open the Word of God this week, know that God is speaking you through that Word. Amen. Allow the Word to change you. Amen. Transform you. You are dismissed. God bless you. This Wednesday, we will be having service in here at 7 p.m. Tuesday prayer at 6:30. We'd love to see you guys. Get the word out. Listen, we are having service. If you need prayer, I'll meet you in the front. God bless you. You are dismissed.